If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let me invite you to open them to that familiar chapter from which Josh read, Hebrews chapter 11. Now I want to begin by saying this: saving faith is always based on the Word of God. In chapter 10 of Romans, verse 17, Paul wrote, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith is the response of a person who has either read the Word of God or who has heard someone proclaim the Word of God. Biblical faith, and that's what we're going to be talking about this Sunday and the next couple of weeks, biblical faith is never based on our feelings alone. It's not some gut feeling or some hunch that I have. It's not positive thinking. It's not a spirit of optimism that simply says, you know, I believe everything's going to work out. Here in chapter 11, verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, it's hard to fully understand biblical faith, but this morning I want to illustrate this, and I'm going to need a volunteer to do that. And Zach, since you got up early and came, would you come up here and help me this morning? I promise you I'll make it worth your while. Okay? Come up here and help me out, if you will, just a minute. I tried this several years ago, and it worked very well, so I want to use this illustration again. Thank you for helping me out with this. Now, this morning, we hadn't talked about this, had we?
No, sir.
I chose you. You didn't choose to come up here on your own and volunteer.
I wouldn't have.
Okay. Okay. Let me just help by illustrating what we're going to be doing here between us with what God has done in all of our lives. Scripture says we love because God first loved us. Jesus said in John 16, he said there, "You did not choose me, I chose you." And so I've done this with Zach this morning. I've chosen him. This was 100% my idea. This was not your idea. But I want to ask you a question. Do you ever need a little extra cash?
Yeah.
Okay.
I normally try to have extra cash.
You normally try to have it. Okay, well, I'm going to help you out this morning.
Well, thank you.
I'm planting hope in his heart by asking these questions. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. So I'm going to plant a little hope. God plants hope in our heart for forgiveness and for a home with Him where there will be no more pain and sorrow. And what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to give you $5 this morning, but it's a conditional $5. But I'll do that. Do you believe that I'm going to give you $5?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You believe that. In Scripture, Jesus said in 1 John chapter 5, anyone who does not believe God makes him out to be a liar. So unbelief is a serious thing. When we doubt what God says, it's insulting to Him that we don't put our trust and our belief in Him. Now, hopefully, in the time that Zach has known me, he has developed confidence in me, and he trusts me, and he believes that I'm a truthful person, and that I'm honorable, and that I'll keep my word. And you saying, you know, yes, sir, to me, you've complimented me because you trust me that I'll do what I say I'm going to do. And let me tell you again, before you sit down, I'm going to give you $5. What are you going to spend it on? No, no, you haven't decided yet. You don't know. He hadn't seen it yet, but he anticipates that. Again, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Now, God tells us what we've got, and we don't have it yet, but I'll tell you, if you'll do this, if you'll go over there to that tree and look and see if there's an envelope in it, bring it back here. Okay, now next, if you'll open that envelope. What's in it?
$5.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. All right. Now, let me just say this, and I really appreciate Zach for coming up here and doing that, even though he would have preferred not to. It's been worth your while this morning to do that. Faith is simply this, and this illustrates it very well. Faith is belief with legs on it. It's a belief that trusts and responds obediently to what God asks. But it is always an acting thing. Faith is never something that just idles in neutral. It is a stepping forward in trust to God. In chapter 11, we're going to see as we go through this, we're going to see all these great men and women of faith. By faith, Abel, and there's always an action word attached to their names. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went when God told him to go into that other land. Sarah, it says, considered him faithful, God, who promised. And she honored God by that belief. Now, what if Zach had said, you know, I don't want to come up there. I mean, I risked that this morning. I wanted to use one of our young men, but you're the only one up here at the front. And so I was hoping you would say yes this morning when I asked you to volunteer. But what if he hadn't believed me? What if he had refused to go and get that envelope and open it up? Faith is always an individual response. You can hear about what God has done in the lives of other people. You can even be a witness of what God has done in amazing ways to those around you. But until you personally respond to God, faith has not been appropriated for yourself. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do other people say that I am? And they said, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, come back alive, and some people think you're one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked the question of them that he asked of every one of us, who do you say that I am? Jesus wants an individual response from every single one of us. When we stand before God on the day of judgment, he is not going to say, okay, all of those who are members of the Sunset Church of Christ, I want you all over here. He's not going to say, you know, all of you who are members of the Lenoy family, I want all of you over here. We'll be called individually, one by one. Our names will be called, and we will stand before that judgment seat. Now, you might say, you know, but God doesn't talk to us like I just talked to Zach and made it very clear. I asked him all the questions. He gave me all the right answers. And then he responded in faith and went over and got that envelope and opened it up, just as I asked him to do. Sometimes people say, you know, if God would just give me a sign, then I could believe in him and I could respond in faith to him. God has promised us salvation right here in his word. And if we respond to what he has said in the word, that is saving faith. Remember when Lazarus died and he was carried away into the bosom of Abraham? And his brothers were back on earth and they were not living a life that would lead them to heaven. And he wanted to go back and talk to his brothers about what he had seen and experienced. But the answer was no. If they have not already believed in what God has done, they're not going to believe even if one comes back from the dead. That's a tremendous sign. But no sign will trump what God has already given us in His Word. In fact, to demand more than what God has already done for us and recorded for us dishonors God. It's insulting to God to say, God, I know you've done all this, but I need something more than what you've already done. I know some children who have been recipients of very generous gifts by their parents. And some of you may have given a very generous gift to your child. Perhaps you gave them a car at some point. And on that birthday morning when you hand the keys over to that child and they go out on the driveway and they see that car there, how would you feel as the giver of a gift like that if the child said, can I see the title before I get too excited and be sure my name is on the title? You know, that's insulting. And when God offers us this gift, and He's given us record of this gift, and then we demand more proof of what He's already done, that couldn't be any more insulting. Faith is our response to God's Word. Do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? Do you take Him at His Word? It comes by hearing, and by our belief, and by our response, our obedient response to that Word. Now, I know that there are people who will say, well, I just can't believe. I have intellectual difficulties believing some of the things that I read in Scripture. And you know, I trust in science, and I think it's ignorant people who really have a need for this thing called religion. But that's not the way God views intellectual unbelief. If you don't believe God in His Word, I've been convinced that it's not simply an intellectual problem. It is a heart problem of that person. Scripture says, "Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a heart issue. That's what God says it is. God doesn't call unbelief weakness. He calls it wickedness. And I know that there are a lot of those who will not believe in God because of what their academic associates would say if they bought into Christianity. In the closing verses of Romans, Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by My gospel, so that all nations might believe and obey Him." It's trust in the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, the miraculously given to us Word of God. Back to verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." You know what I hope for? I hope for a life one day where I will no longer be tempted by Satan. I don't want to disappoint God anymore. I don't want to disappoint my family anymore. I don't want to disappoint myself anymore. I want to live someday where Satan's influence is forever removed from the picture. That's one thing I hope for. I hope for a place where there will be no more tears and no more sadness and no more heartbreak. I want to be in a place where there's no more pain, where I don't have to say goodbye to people I love. That's what I hope for. And faith is being sure of what we hope for. It's being certain of what we now do not see. I've never seen Jesus except through the eyes of faith. I've read what eyewitnesses have said who saw Him physically. I've never seen what happens that moment after death. I've got a lot of loved ones, and you do too, who stepped across that threshold. And by faith, I believe they're there, and they're waiting. In verse 6, he goes on to say here, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Jesus told His disciples before He went into heaven, He said, don't be sad, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back to take you to be with me. You know, Zach didn't have a clear idea, but he knew he was going to use that money for something. He can begin to daydream what he's going to do with it. And as Christians, we ought to be daydreaming about that home that he's gone and he's promised to prepare for us. What do you think he'll do for you? What kind of house or room or palace or mansion or whatever it's going to be? We sing songs about that. The God who died for you and who loves you and who is coming back for you. You know, we live in these pretty comfortable places right now here on this earth. What will it be like to have a house made by the hands of the living God? We need to dream about these things and know that He exists and that He will reward those who earnestly seek Him. Do you believe? Have you responded in faith to what He said? One final word of caution here. Be sure the response that you make is based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I hear a lot of people say, you know, if I just live a good life and I'm a good neighbor and do good to people, then God will save me. But when I open God's Word and read, I see statements like this. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these great things? And yet I will still say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. People say, you know, if I just believe, if I'll just pray to Jesus, if I just have some experience, if I just pray the sinner's prayer. But did you know that none of those things are ever recorded in Scripture as the kind of response God asks from us? Saving faith is always and only a response to the Word of God. That question was asked for the very first time in Acts chapter 2. Those people who now had become convinced that this man that they had put on the cross was in fact God's Son who had come down from heaven to save them. And they asked that question for the first time, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I do that, I've gone over and I've taken that envelope, and I've opened it up, and I have the prospect of that reward that God has reserved for me. God is faithful. He keeps His Word. Do you trust Him? Have you obeyed Him? If you need to come, won't you do that while we stand and sing?